We're going to talk about a slight twist of a message I did a couple of years ago. Why are our prayers not answered? Now, the message we did a couple of years ago was Master Teach Us to Pray. But unfortunately, even if we've figured out how to pray, we get frustrated sometimes because prayer doesn't get answered. Does anybody ever fit into that category? I mean, just be honest with you, it's a simple thing, but I've been praying for my dog for 3 weeks. You know, I figure if God cares so much about animals that he says in part of the blessings in the Torah that you and your household will be blessed, but also your animals will produce and will be blessed as well. So I'm figuring, why not? It's part of my household. Why can't I pray and ask the Creator? He cares for us in everything we do, but right now, you know, he seems to be getting a little bit better, but he has not been healed of that. And I know I've prayed over some people in this room that have not been healed yet. And I know that throughout my almost 30 plus years of being a Christian in some form or manner, it was a big problem because the vast majority of people that got prayed for didn't get healed. So I thought, well, why not tackle another topic nobody wants to talk about, right? Just have a little fun with it. So why don't all your prayers get answered? And I'm going to assure you that I don't have all the answers you want to hear. We're just going to talk about what some of the scriptures say. And I think possibly it'll help alleviate some of the pain we go through when we don't feel like our prayer is answered. Because let me put it to you this way. In my most simplistic view as a Christian, probably 20 years ago, I used to say, well, God answers prayer in three ways. He says yes, he says maybe, but not now, or he says no. And that may be a simplistic overview, but I would suggest there's a lot more to those answers. Yeah, sometimes he just says no, flat out. That's true. No, that's not part of my will. It's not what you should be praying for. I'm not going to do it. Sometimes he says yes and he grants that prayer right away. You ever prayed and somebody got healed right away? Or you asked for something righteous and Father just went ahead and did it for you. We all have had that happen. But the time we struggle with where he says it's not, the timing is not right. Because it's right in our eyes. In our eyes, just do it now, Father. I wouldn't have asked if I didn't want it. Where's the problem? Problem is, he didn't tell you could have everything you want, did he? So let's take a look at this. What is prayer exactly? Because we're going to tie into some of the things that we taught in that 2 years ago, because I feel they're important for us today. And because I can, okay? What is prayer? We've been, you know, I mean, I don't know about you. I was taught you had to read an hour a day, or you had to be on your knees for 30 minutes a day, right? You've all, depending on where you are, you had different things. But what is the most simplistic answer of what prayer actually is? Communicating with God. Conversation with God. Communication, conversation, right? So I know some of you men think like, uh-huh, and hmm, and yep, that's communicating, right? Ask your wives if that's communicating. Does any wife say that that's communicating? When they ask you a question, you go, yep, uh-huh. No, communication, men especially, women already know. Men, it's complete sentences, isn't it, right? Complete sentences, like, yes. Me and Mark met the other day and we had lunch and we had some really meaningful discussions and we discussed the ministry and how we're going to conquer the world for Yeshua. But what do we do, man? We go, yeah, it was great. What did you talk about? Oh, I don't know. I don't. Well, what was Mark wearing? He serious? So let me ask you a question, man. Can you relate to this even a little bit? Your wife wants to communicate with you, right? Even when you're tired, you're worn out, she wants to communicate with you, right? Is that true? Am I yes or right? Go ahead, call me on it. Okay? Why would God be any different? If he wants an intimate relationship with you, why wouldn't he want to communicate with you? Why wouldn't he want you to communicate with him? You can't expect, you know, you can't come up with the excuse, well, it's hard enough with my wife. Do I have to do it with him too? Come on, he's the creator of the universe. He's the one that gives you life and breath. We have to learn to communicate. See, the problem is, what we're really afraid of, men, is that when we hear from God, now we have a response that we have to do. Because I would suggest to you, a lot of reason the prayer lives of many people are broken down is because we're terrified of hearing from God. We don't want to pray because we know what he's going to tell us. Why? Because we've read the book and we understand at least a good part of his character, and we already know the answer many times before we start. See, often, and I'm just going to speak for myself, often we go into prayer asking God to make an exception for us. Think you can make an exception this one time? Because what I really want to do is cool, and it's the way that's right in my eyes. But we know deep down it's not right in God's eyes. True prayer life can only be found when you converse with the Father, and then you follow through with actually shemaing, listening and obeying to what he has to tell you. See, he wants you to have an intimate prayer life with him because he wants you to be echad with him, and he wants to have that relationship with you. And that relationship requires that you be obedient. We don't listen to him when he speaks to us, and that's why we don't want to dig in and really seek him. Maybe not all the time, but I would suggest a lot more often than we're willing to admit. See, we have to make it a priority to spend time with our Father. And that leads us to the next question. What should we pray for? Because the scriptures are fairly clear, but we really don't know that, because I spent my first, 10 years of being a Christian thinking we pray for anything we desire. There was a song out in the 80s, "Your desire is the confirmation, the destination is there." And I really, at the time, I thought it was really cool, but it was basically a song saying that what you desire is confirmation that that's what you should be praying for, because God wouldn't give you the desire if he didn't want you to have it, you know? And I got to be honest with you, just in a joking way, in the 80s, my number one desire in the world was to have a boat. And to this day, I'm 60 years old, never had a boat. So it maybe was not God's desire. So we have to understand, what should we pray for? John 14:14 says, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now in English, that's a, you know, opening up Pandora's box. But we don't look at the next verse. Anybody know what the next verse says? 14:15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." So I would suggest to you that this verse, John 14:14, has caused a lot of problems in the Christian walk, in the Messianic walk. It's caused a lot of misunderstanding. It has caused a lot of these heresies that have evolved into the name it, claim it, the prosperity messages, and all kinds of junk that you all are fully familiar with. And the bottom line is, we have to understand, what does it really mean when it says, "If you ask anything in my name"? And I know we've talked about this in the past, but I want to bring it up one more time today because it applies to prayer. Anything in my name, the word name in Hebrew, I know this is Greek in John, but if you translate that back to Hebrew, it's Shem. And the Shem can have a multitude of meanings, but let's just take a look at this if we were to translate the word name, and this is something you should think about as you read your Bible. Anytime it says, especially in the New Testament, but you can use it all the way through, when it says "in the name of Yeshua" or "in my name," think of it in the fullness of what that meaning of that word is. So let me just paraphrase it for you. "If you shall ask anything in my authority, my reputation, my glory, that which encompasses who I am, my Shem or my name," does that make a little more sense? "Then I will do it." So if we're asking according to God's will, God's glory, his righteousness, he's going to do it for us. Now we have something we can work with. And see, this also confirms what he wrote in 1 John 5:14, where it says, "This is the confidence that we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." See, the reality is we have to differentiate between our needs and our desires, or our needs and what we think we want. Because the problem is our desires sometimes don't line up with God, and what we think we want could take us away from God. I remember an old story about somebody who prayed for a lake house for years and years, and he finally got the lake house, and what did he end up doing? All summer long, he was never in service. You know, so what we thought we wanted may take us away from God. And, you know, that's a sad reality, but we've actually seen that physically in many, many people. You know, maybe that boat would have caused me to spend a lot more weekends on the water not learning God's word. And even though at the time I wasn't learning the fullness of the truth, it gave me a great foundation for where he asked me to come today. So the second reason we don't get what we pray for quite often is that we pray for things that don't line up with God's will. And we have to learn to pray according to God's will. So how should we pray? That's the next part of the thing. How should we be praying? And obviously we know that Yeshua taught his disciples to pray. And we also know John taught his disciples to pray. Matthew 6, 7 through 13 says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask." See, it's that word need again. "In this manner, therefore, pray." And the word manner means example, pattern, or template. See, the Lord's Prayer has been turned into a ritual. And while I am fine with that ritual when you're teaching a three-year-old to pray, the expectation is that three-year-old grows to be seven or eight and has the cognizance and the ability to learn, you should be teaching them what the pattern really means. See, I grew up as a Catholic, and I was in the Catholic Church, and every time we went to the confessional, we were assigned X number of Hail Marys and X number of the Lord's Prayer, Our Fathers. It was usually, for me, it was like 10 of each. It's torture. But yet, our Messiah says avoid vain repetitions, saying the same thing over and over and over again. You see, and when I was studying for this morning, when I was just going through this, it hit me. How many times did Yeshua pray for someone in long drawn out prayers for healing? Never. It was just simple. Even Peter, what was the longest prayer he ever prayed? "In the name of Yeshua, stand up and walk. Now let's go. Let's get out of here. The temple's waiting. We got to get to service." There was no dragging it out. There was no long, drawn-out prayers. The Catholic Church has got their ways of doing things, but unfortunately, we've been taught our own different doctrines of men that have kind of stuck with us over the years that we need to kind of get out of our kind of memory banks. We need to understand that it's a pattern, and if we understand what the pattern is, it's a little easier to follow. Now, I would suggest to you in English, it can be done, but I think it's really easy if we just take the Hebrew version of Matthew and we do the transliteration. So I'm going to read that to you. You all know the English, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," right? I had to say it about 9,000 times when I was a kid because I had to go to the confessional every week. So, but the good news is I have that part of Scripture memorized. But in the transliterated Hebrew version of Matthew, it says, "Our Father, may your name be sanctified, and may your kingdom be blessed. May your will be done in the heavens and on the earth, and give us our bread continually." And I would suggest to you that word bread can mean our food, not just, you know, loaves of bread. "Excuse us our offenses against you, as we forgive those who have offended us. And do not let us enter into the powers of temptation, and protect us from all evil." This is a righteous and a holy prayer, and it's an outline that could take a little more than 15 seconds. If we break it down into a template, and then we use that to pray and spend the first part of our prayer just proclaiming the goodness and the awesomeness and the mighty God that we serve. And then you can move on to thanking Him for providing for you and thanking for always giving us everything we have need of. I don't know about you, but I rarely ever have to ask the Father to give me what I have need of. He does it because He loves me. And then we move on to the temptation part. And this is where we struggle with the prayer end of it. And so I want to talk about this for a few minutes. Because testing and temptation often comes at the direction of the Father. Now the Father will allow temptation to happen for a purpose. And it can be any number of purposes. And who am I to think I've got them all figured out? So I'm just going to share a few of them that I know from the Scripture. Perhaps He's nudging you to get you to fall off the fence. Maybe the temptation is He's trying to get you to fall off the fence. And by that, I don't mean it disrespectful. I mean fall off the fence onto His side. He just wants you off the fence. See, the fence is where you haven't made up your mind. The fence is where you are, you know, wishy-washy. You're double-minded. Where you're not sure, do I want to be in? Do I want to be out? Do I love the Lord completely or do I love Him 90%? He wants us off the fence. Testing usually will improve our relationship with God if we truly love Him to begin with. See, if you truly love the Lord with all your heart, that testing will draw you closer to Him. It'll make you stronger. It'll make you more like His Son. See, the unique thing about God is He desires all of us. And He's got way more patience than I do because He is willing to wait as long as it takes to get your full attention. He doesn't play games. He's not up there just testing you for the fun of it. He is kadosh. He is holy. And He is righteous. And everything He does is to draw you close to Him. Now the testing can also happen when you're getting ready to be elevated. And when I say elevated, I mean elevated by Him. Which means you may be taking on more responsibility as a leader. As a, what I'd say, as a servant. When you're going to get elevated as a servant to do more for the kingdom, God will sometimes test you just to see where your heart's at, just to see if you're really sold out and committed to Him. So I would suggest to you, we need to ask the Father to not only allow us to avoid temptation, but if He actually puts us in a test, say, Father, just give me the strength to stay focused on You. You'll never have a problem with temptation if you stay focused on the Father. It's when we let our focus get sidetracked, right? Anybody had to deal with certain things in your life? And you, when you're focused on God, it's a piece of cake. But when He gets you off track and you're not looking at Him, you're over here, we can go any which direction we want. So ask the Father to be with you, to give you strength, to endure the test. The next question is, are there any exceptions when we should not pray? You know, for a particular situation or an individual. And 2 years ago, I gave this answer. You may not like the answer, but it's yes. There are times we shouldn't pray. So today, I'm going to give you my new and improved answer. With 2 more years of wisdom under my belt, and I'm going to give you this answer. No, we should always pray for someone, but we not always are going to pray the way we think we should pray, and we don't always pray the way the person is requesting you pray. See, often prayer, a certain prayer request can go against what the Father's already planning on doing. You know? See, you know, a lot of times we see people make mistakes. Let's just leave it real simple. They just make mistakes that are so, have you ever seen something, it's so painfully obvious to you, you can see crystal clear, you could pull out the Bible and show all the reasons why what they're doing is a mistake. But do you realize sometimes that's where the Father has them because that's the only way He's going to get their attention to make them realize how futile their thinking is so that He can get them back on track. And we come along and we intervene and want to stop what they're doing or change what they're doing or intervene by praying that it be, you know, terminated. And the Father's like, no, that's where I have them. I know where they're at's not good, but that's the place where I can get them to turn around. So there are times that we should pray for people, but we need to be looking at a different way to pray for them. If God's improving them or testing them to make them a better person, we need to get out of God's way and get in line with what His will is. So what are some of the places that this is clearly outlined in Scripture? Because some of you might be going, this is crazy. Why would we have to do that? Let's take a look at, I'm not going to actually read all of them. I'm just going to give you the examples because they're very well known. Paul prayed three times. Now, Paul was one of the most amazing men in the New Testament. In fact, he wrote half of it, or not, if not more. Three times he prays for deliverance from what? A buffeting spirit. And the Father said, no. No. My grace, which is my power, is sufficient. Not going to answer your request. Paul told Timothy to start drinking some wine with his water in order to help his stomach problems. Why didn't Paul just heal him? Why would he tell him to just drink a little wine with the water? Could have healed him, I would assume. In 2 Timothy 4:20, and the only reason I wrote this one down is the words are hard to remember, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Now why would he leave him there sick? We're not told, are we? But could it be that in Miletus, where Trophimus was, he didn't really have a disease, he just got a cold, or maybe he had a flu. Maybe it was something minor. I'm not really positive, but before we get into some answers, let's read some more. John 9:2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, so that he was born blind? And I realize this is one of the most hated verses in the New Testament because of the implications, but you know what? We don't worry about what people think about implications, do we? See, the inability of us to deal with what was going on back then sometimes gets in the way from us understanding what the Scriptures are trying to say. Why would they ask this silly question? Perhaps they knew their Scriptures better than we do. Perhaps they knew something we don't know or we have not been taught. Yeshua follows up and says, neither. This one is for the glory of God to be shown. But the reality is, they knew the Scriptures, and that's why they asked a question. So what did they know that we don't know today? One of my wife's favorite verses, Proverbs 26:2, like a darting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so an undeserved curse never arrives. You see, in Deuteronomy, it defines what a curse is, and it's defined as disease and sickness, not a stomach ache or a headache. It's true-to-life diseases that in that day and time, let's be honest, were fairly incurable. There was nobody that, they weren't able to do nearly what we can do today. You know, a headache back then, they probably said just lay down, get some rest, drink some water, and you know, it'll pass. If you caught a cold, you get some rest, and it passes. Colds are pretty hard to catch when your immune system's up. But the bottom line is Deuteronomy tells us that disease and sickness are a curse. So perhaps before we start looking into what's going on, the first place should be in our own hearts. Now I'm quick to tell you, it's not always that way. It's not 100%, but it's the first place we should look. You know why? Because it's the first place we can control. It's the first place we can deal with. If we look into it and we go before the Father and say, Father, please show me what I need to change, what I need to do, what have I done to bring this upon me? He may say, nothing, my son. I've got a purpose in this. But quite often, He's going to show you things you need to deal with in life. So perhaps before we pray over people, we need to start asking more questions. When Yeshua healed the man laying by the pool of Bethesda, remember, He heals him, and then later when they met up in the temple, what did He say to him? He said something he said to two different people. One was the woman who was caught in adultery, and one was this man. He said, go and sin no more. Now, we can't 100% tie that into the reason why he was the way he was, because it said for the glory of God. But the reason that many people get sick is because of sin. Not 100%. Now, people hate that. But the reality is, can we at least be honest with ourselves and say, let's look there first? Because sin often is disguised as bitterness, anger, resentment, things that we've held on to for years. And that's the stuff we need to get rid of. All Israel knew in that day that our sin opens the door for disease and sickness. We know now today through science that unforgiveness and bitterness are tied to many diseases which can lead to unhealthy circumstances if not dealt with. But the good news is this. Not only do we have the Word of God that knows how to deal with it, science is now starting to back up what the Word of God has been saying for years and years and years. See, all the scientists that have come out with these studies, they feel like they're brilliant because they're the first scientists to have tied in all these things. But they don't realize it's been written like that for thousands of years. See, the doctors think they're pretty smart, and they are. And they have a great purpose, and they have great meaning, and we need them for many things. But the Bible is where we're going to find our source. And Henry Wright has been very successful in pointing people to the scriptures that outline the need for forgiveness and what that will do to change life-threatening and non-life-threatening diseases. I would suggest to you that it hasn't been 100% of the cases, but he's got thousands now that should at least make us wake up and go, maybe this stuff has some meaning. Maybe what was written in here has a purpose for us. And the hope is found in that all who humble themselves before God and who will follow his instructions, he always answers our prayer, and he always answers our requests. Because when we are humble, we come to him with right motives and a right heart. It may take a little time to heal physically, but we'll heal emotionally instantly, and usually the physical follows very quickly after that. Today, we need to be a people that are more diligent in our prayer life. We need to be a people who are determined not just to spend time with the Father, or not just determined to spend X amount of time reading His Word. We need to be people that want an intimate relationship with Him. We have to develop that prayer life. That's why coming to fellowship on Saturday is not always supposed to be fun. We always enjoy one another, but it's serious. This is a time to connect with the Father. It's a time to be becoming holy. It's a time that we let iron sharpen iron, and it has to be for His glory. That's what the Shabbat is all about. Everybody wants a new pill they can pop or a new drug, but how about opening up our heart to the Father and letting Him do what He does best? The first question we need to always ask is, Father, what do I need to change in my life to please you? And then the rest will unfold before you. So the final reason I will bring up for not having our prayers answered could be a lack of faith. And I don't really like this answer because that's what was the go-to answer for the last 30 years, 25 years. Every time somebody prayed and it didn't happen, it was, oh, there must have somebody had a lack of faith. And then I got into these circles. There must be somebody in the rooms. Faith is not, you know, at a certain level. We need to purge that person out of the room so the other 250 of us can operate in the gift that God gave us. It's nonsense. It's garbage. But we bought into it. Yes, we do have to have faith. It's not diminishing that. It's just the idea that there had to be an excuse for their prayer not being answered. How about many a times they were praying against the will of God? How many times did I participate in a prayer for someone that was against God's will, but it seemed right to me? You got to have more faith. But where does this come from anyway? Where do they come up with this idea? And I would suggest it's probably from James 1:6-8. And it says, but let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. For that person will not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, the verse prior says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask in faith. So not only do we take it out of context, because what James is saying in 6 through 8, yes, it can apply to prayer and it can apply to other areas. We do need faith. We need to have faith to please God. Don't we read that in the scriptures? Yes, we need faith so that maybe it can be counted to us as righteousness like it was to Abraham. We need to have faith to gain wisdom. And we need faith to have our prayers answered. But it's never faith alone, as your faith has no right to overturn what God's will is. Does that make sense? You can have all the faith in the world, but if you're praying against God, good luck. If we're praying against what He wants to do, my money's on Him. But you don't know how much faith I have. Good luck. Have fun with that one. God is bound by His own word, but He is not bound by any of our words. His word tells us what we need to do and what He promises He will do in response. But He is not bound by what we think we want and what we think we need. You want to see more of your prayers answered? Then I would suggest get a closer relationship with the Father so that you will know beyond a shadow of doubt what His will is for your life and what He desires for you. I can just tell you my prayer life has changed dramatically over the last 5 years. Dramatically. I bought into the whole thing. You know, we pray for our business. We pray for finances. We pray for good things. We pray for all this stuff that's really irrelevant. Now, we do have to take care of our families, but you know what? God's never let me down in that area before, even when I was acting like an idiot. So why would I be worried about that now that I'm serving Him? You want to see more of your prayers answered? Start studying the Word of God so your prayers start lining up with His Word. You want to see your kids repent and return to God? That's great. It's a righteous prayer. You should want that. Start praying, Father, do what you need to do in order to turn them around. Instead of praying, Father, you know, if you could just give them this and if you could just give them that, if you could just make them see how awesome we are and how much we know about the Word of God so they'll listen to our preaching to, you know what I mean? We have to ask God to do what He needs to do to change their life. You know, I've got an awesome son-in-law over in Alabama, and we're going to get to go see him at Thanksgiving. But they're young, and you know how you are when you're in your 20s. Anybody in the 20s here today? Kathy, you're still in your 20s, yeah. Some 20-year-olds, not Catherine, some 20-year-olds think they know everything, right? Sometimes it lingers into the 30s, not often. But at some point in time, they realize, you know, their parents weren't that. So I just determined, you know, I don't have to explain everything to Jared. It's not my responsibility. I just need to love him. I need to encourage him. Need to let him figure things out for his own. If he ever wants to ask me for something, he can contact me and ask me. But, you know, there is a stretch where I didn't feel that way. There was a stretch where I was trying to make him understand just how smart I was and how I knew everything, and that didn't go too well. It didn't work because I realized I'm really not all that smart. You know, I love the Father with all my heart, but, you know, He needs to do things differently. So I changed my prayer focus, and now I'm asking that God would lead and guide Stephanie and Jarek the way He needs to in order for them to come to the greatest relationship they can have with the Father. And that's what I'm going to do with other friends and family members. You know, the way that, Richie and Kelly, the way you guys are going to come to the fullness of your calling will be slightly different than the way James and Andrea come. So why would I have a generic prayer for that? I just pray God brings you there, both in His way, the way He leads your life. You want your prayer for sickness to be answered? But do you want to deal with the issues that may be going on inside you? They go hand in hand. Father will do a miracle, but He's waiting for you to respond too. We have to be willing to stop walking in our error and start walking in the Spirit as Messiah instructed us. And I would suggest to you, even though that should not be a hard decision, it actually is. It actually is, because we've been doing the same old thing for so long, it's become ingrained in us, it's become habit, and breaking habits is challenging. Our Creator's instruction were designed for our good, and we have to come to that realization first. Every instruction in there that's challenging is because of our bad habits, but it's for our good, and He wants health and life for us. We were taught doctrines of men that we cannot find in the Bible, that are not true, and we need to cast them aside and start studying the Word of God so we understand truly what He wants for us. Amen? Because I believe with all my heart, when we start doing that, that is when we can start enjoying the abundant life. And that's when we can get to a place where we truly have something to share with everybody else. When we start really fulfilling and walking out God's Word, that's when our prayers availeth much. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, I come before You today, and I just thank You for Your Shabbat once again. You know, and David had such a precious prayer in the men's room today that we just wake up and understand what a privilege it is to be here and to be a part of Your glory and to just a part of a beautiful day. Today the sun is shining and it was beautiful, but even when the rain is coming down, You're feeding Your creation. Father, we just have to be a people who appreciate You far more than we have in the past. And we have to appreciate all of the wonderful things that You've given us and the ability to join Your family and to be a part of Your kingdom. But Father, I have no misgivings that there is something required of us, and that's the true faith that was once given to the saints, the true faith that results in a changed life, the true faith that results in changed actions, changed attitudes, changed viewpoints. We no longer see things the way we did in the world. Father, we see things according to Your plan and Your purpose. And Father, I come before You and I lift up every single need that is in this room, true need that you already know of. And I ask that You would deal with them according to Your great mercy and Your righteousness. And I pray that You would be the one that decides the best way for them to move forward. Father, because I know if we truly trust in You, You always have the best for us. Trick is, are we going to really trust in You, Father? And I, for one, suggest that me and my house, we are going to trust in You in all things, in the mountain and in the valley. And Father, and I pray our faith and the faith of many other here will just overpower anybody who is struggling in their faith. I pray that our faith will overpower anybody who is weak in the faith, and we can encourage them and strengthen them so they can truly trust in You to deliver them and to give them an abundant life as promised in John 10:10. Father, we just thank You so much for inviting us into Your family. We thank You for this opportunity. Allow us to become whole. Allow us to become healthy and strong so that we can be a light to the nations that are so dark around us. And as was mentioned in the Torah portion, I think Sean mentioned, Father, that, you know, the evil has been in the world everywhere. It's just been the lack of good people. Well, Father, I believe with all my heart that even with a small number here at the House of Scripture, if we truly have a heart for You, if we are seeking to be kadosh like You are kadosh, if we are seeking to further Your kingdom and not our own kingdom, and we are truly willing to honor You by keeping the commandments You've laid out for us, Father, I believe this small group of people can do amazing things. Not that anybody would be amazed with us, but they would be amazed with the God that we serve. That is our goal, and that is our heart's desire, Father. And I pray that You would give each and every person in this room that same heart's desire. I'll close with the benediction. Yevirekeka Yehovah v'yishmerecha. Yair Yehovah panavalecha v'hunecha. Yisa Yehovah panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance to you and bring you His peace. Shem Yeshua. Amen and amen.